Welcome to the CCI Sunday podcast presented by CCI Plus. Download our free app at communitychurchinternational.org. We'll start in just a moment, but first I want to invite you to stop by on Sunday morning at 10 a.m. and worship with us, listen to a powerful message, and enjoy the company of some friends. We are 1 mile east of the college on Highway 1 in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. We hope to see you soon.
See, the one you crucified, he has made him Savior and Lord. Okay? It's not that we're just, you know, salvation. We're talking about the Lordship and the life that Jesus has for us. So many times, and what I'm learning right now as we read through these stories, is that God does not force himself on anybody. He will not force you to do the right thing. And I got some stories too.
The gates and doors were barred, and all the windows fastened down. I spent the night in sleeplessness, rose at every sound. Half in hope of sorrow, half in fear of the day. We'll find the soldiers breaking through and drag us all away. Just before the sunrise, I heard something at the wall. The gates began to rattle, and a voice began to call. I hurried to the window and looked down into the street, expecting swords and torches and the sound of soldiers' feet. There was no one there but Mary, so I went down to let her in. John stood there beside me as she told us where she'd been. She said they moved him in the night, and none of us knows where. The stone's been rolled away, and now his body isn't there. We both ran towards the garden, John ran on ahead. We found the stone and the empty tomb, just the way the Mary said. But the winding sheet they wrapped him in was just an empty shell. And how aware they'd taken him was more than I could tell. Something strange had happened there, but just what, I didn't know. John believed a miracle, but I just turned to go. Circumstance and speculation couldn't lift me very high, 'cause I seen them crucify him, and then I watched him die. Back inside the house again, the guilt and anguish came, and everything I'd promised him just added to my shame. When at last it came to choices, I denied I knew his name. And even if he was alive, it wouldn't be the same. Suddenly the air was filled with a strange, sweet perfume. A light that came from everywhere drove shadows from the room. Jesus stood before me with his arms held open wide. And I fell down on my knees and just clung to him and cried. He raised me to my feet, and as I looked into his eyes, love was shining out from him like sunlight from the skies. A guilt in my confusion disappeared in sweet release. And every fear I'd ever had just melted into peace. Oh, he's alive, he's alive, oh, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, he's alive, and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. He's alive, he's alive, oh, he's alive.
He's alive. Thank you, Sarah. Thank you, Jacob. You know, I was sitting back there with Jacob. You know, when we celebrate Resurrection Sunday, there was a rock that rolled. And that's all I had to say. That was like the on button for Jacob. That's right! Rock and roll! So I was a little bit heavy this morning. I think it's still the Spirit of God, though, so amen. All right. Can I tell you a couple jokes this morning? Probably shouldn't. Okay. So a man broke into this lady's house, and he was going through the kitchen and taking a bunch of stuff, and she came down the stairs, and she saw him in a distance, and she said, "Stop! Acts 2. 38. And the guy stood there, and she said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the Holy Spirit." The guy stood there, and he didn't even move. She got on the phone and called the police. The police came and grabbed that man. And the cop said to him, Why did you not run? Well, she said she had an axe and 2 38s. What do you say? You gave it to me. That's your joke. Huh? I'll do this other one. This is a resurrection one. A man and his mother-in-law went to the holy city. And they went to the holy city, and there, and unfortunately, while they were there, his mother-in-law passed away. So while he was there, they had to try to make plans to what to do with her. So he talked to an official, and the official said, "Listen, this is what we can do. For about $150, she can be buried here in the Holy Land. Or for about $5,000, we could have her shipped back with you and take her home." So the guy thought about it for a while, and he said, I think I'll take her home. And the guy said, why? That's $5,000. Well, he said, 2,000 years ago, a man was buried here, and he rose again. And I don't think I want to take that chance. Jenny, maybe you should take a
look. I told you that was it.
So now people are whispering, like, who was it that was dead? Maybe you should forget that part, okay? Okay, I should repent for that one. All right. Praise the Lord. Well, I want to introduce my wife. She's a wonderful woman of God. We're going to go over some things that we've been talking about with kids and kids' church and about the daily readings and getting into the Word of God. I tell you what, in the beginning of March, we said, you know what? We need to start getting in the Word and know about God, and we challenge families to sit down with their kids and get into the Word of God. So we promised on the Family Sunday that we would do a little bit of review and tie that in. So we're going to do that there this morning. So throughout this part, there's going to be questions of the stories that we've read in March, and we're going to see. Where's Marky? She's excited for these things. Marky, you can't be back there. Get up here. You're going to miss out. This is what this is all about. Sit with your families and stuff, and we're gonna have a good time.
Yes, and you sit with your families as throughout our speaking, we're going to throw in some trivia. So I want the kids to answer, not the adults. So you can help them, and then we're going to hand out Bible bucks. And so whoever has the most Bible bucks at the end, I have a prize. Okay? So Tom, you'll help me with those.
I will.
And watch. Easter, resurrection. With resurrection, there's life, right? Without a resurrection, there wouldn't be life. And when Jesus died, he gave us life. And as he died, so did we. As he rose, so did we. And because he lives, so do we, right? So in John 11:25, it says, I'm going to go to John 11:25-26. I'm going to read this. This is the story of Lazarus, of course, where Lazarus died, and so it was. And anyway, you know the story of Lazarus. But my main point was, he told Martha this. He said, Jesus told her, I am the resurrection and the life, and anyone who believes in me will live, even after dying. So that means after we die, we get to live forever, you know, as we have Jesus Christ, of course, within us. But everyone who lives in me and believes in me will never die. Do you believe that? So his resurrection gave us life. He died and rose again so we could have life. And that's life with everything. Everything he did at the cross, it's life from sickness. It's life to be prosperous. It's all the things that he did at the cross so that we could be free. To me, when he died and rose and all that, it's freedom. It brought us freedom from our sins. It brought us freedom to live a life. What does it mean to live? We're alive. He lives within us. And so as we've been doing this daily Bible thing, the biggest thing that I've seen throughout the pattern was there's been choices. The Israelites had choices. Samson had choice to make. Goliath, David, there's so many stories that there was a choice that they had to make. And so I'm going to ask the first question. See, Tom, pay attention here. Let's see here. They're mixed around, sorry. So the first question comes on March 16, or 20, no, where's this? I'm sorry, my notes are all messed up, Tom. Where are they? Oh, here we go, March 6th. It was Joshua. And he had a challenge, and the Israelites would have to make a choice. So what choice did God present to the Israelites after he told them all that he had done for them? It's like Marky. Nope. Not on this one, nope. He gave them a choice. He set before them a choice. Do you guys know we've been doing this every day? I just read the question. Okay. What choice did God present to the Israelites after he told them what he had did for them? He presented them with a choice. What was it? Anybody? Lucas, you know. Say it, Luke. You know. Do you know?
Just say it if you did.
Marky, you want to try again? You know? Anybody?
Maybe we can narrow it down.
You Googling it? There's no Google involved in this game. Do you have the answer?
Okay, so this is March 6th.
It's March 6th. It was about
when This is when Joshua had just led the people to Israel. This is before Joshua was going to pass on. And he said he wanted to remind the Israelites. So he said this is all the things that God had done for them. He was talking about you inherited places you didn't work for and homes and villages and vineyards. So God said, listen here. You know, he said he wasn't going to force them to do this, but he gave them two choices when they got into the land of two things they could do that were very, very important concerning God and then concerning something else, okay? See if you know the choice.
Marky. Choose today who you will serve. I'll give
choose
that to you.
Who you would serve. That's
okay.
Right.
Good job, Marky. I know. You have to really think. So the choice is the resurrected life is a choice. And he puts before us choices. So in Deuteronomy 30, 19 and 20, he gave the people a choice. And I'm going to read that to you. I had it all figured out, but now I have to go back to it. Sorry, bear with me. Okay, here it is. It said here, today I have given you the choice between life and death, between blessings and curses. Now I call on heaven and earth to witness the choice you make, and oh, that you would choose life so that you and your descendants might live. You can make this choice by loving the Lord your God and obeying him and committing yourself firmly to him. This is the part I like. So this is the key to your life. The key to life is the choice that we make to serve him. And you love and obey the Lord, and you will live long in the land. So this is a blessing. When you choose God, you can live long in the land that swore to give you from your ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. It's a choice of choosing to obey God or disobey God. The Israelites had a choice. They could obey or disobey. One choice would lead to life. One choice would lead to death. You know, in our own lives, we have choices to make. And some of the, what do those choices lead to? I'll ask another one. I'll just throw them in here. So I'll ask a couple of them. So this is on Samson. So let's see how well you guys know about Samson. He had got himself in some trouble, didn't he? And I feel like he's kind of foolish in his choice. But okay, so why did the Philistines come to get Samson? He killed him. Yep. You went on the long version of the answer. That was really good. What came over Samson that gave him strength? What came over him? Okay, Jalen. Yes, the Holy Spirit. One more and then I'll go on. What did Samson use to kill all the Philistines with? Very good. Very good. Yeah, he killed it with the jawbone of a donkey. So also God laid out in Deuteronomy 28, he laid out the blessings and the curses. So when he gave them choices in 28, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but he gave them choices, and there's blessings for obeying. There's blessings for obedience. There's blessing when you follow God's plan and the blessing that God has for you. So if you fully obey the Lord, your God, and this is in 28:1, carefully keep all my commandments that I am giving you today, that your Lord will set you high above all the nations. So this is the blessings. Your towns and your fields will be blessed. Your children, your crops will be blessed. The offspring of your herds and flocks will be blessed. Your fruits and your baskets will be blessed. So And also, he will conquer your enemies. He will that are trying to attack. So when you walk that path that he has for you, everything that the enemy tries to come combating you with, he will avenge for you and he will protect you because he will bless you because you obeyed and chose him. Now there's curses for disobedience. And he said, if you refuse to listen to the Lord your God and do not obey all the commandments, this is what will happen. Your towns and your fields will be cursed. Your fruit baskets will be cursed. Your children and crops will be cursed. The offspring. So there's consequences for choosing the wrong path. So if they follow, obey and follow the Lord, they'd have life of blessing. Who doesn't want a life full of blessing? Who doesn't want to follow that path? And if you go to disobedience, there's destruction and there's things that all around. God sets before his people life or death. Just as it was for the Israelites, it's the same today. For us, he sets before us this path over here where we're going to choose to walk in life. Even every day of our life, we have to choose. Now, there's some days I get up, you know, in the morning and I'll choose something and it may not be the right choice. But boy, that ruins my day. You know, it ruins a day. I remember, I'm going to share this. So, I got angry with Tom one day. And I said to him, I said, Tom, I'm angry with you. I'm mad. I'm not sure exactly what I was mad about. It happened. It happens from time to time. We do argue a little bit. I don't even remember what it was. Anyway, he told me, he said, you choose to be angry with me. And I looked at him and I said, yeah, I am choosing to be angry with you today. That's my choice I'm making today. I'm angry with you. And then I was angry with him for the rest of that day, I think. But that ruins your day. It ruins things. You know, anger, you can choose to be angry. You know, I mean, I was on the phone even the other day. I got so angry. You get on the phone with people with the bills, and then you get this stupid automatic voice thing. And I'm telling the thing, I'm like, I want to speak to a person. Give me a person. And I get so irritated and frustrated. But that irritates my day. That can ruin my day. But then there's times I get on there and I'm like, okay, I'm going to choose today that no matter what that person on the other line does, I'm going to stay in the fruits of the Spirit. Because we can put on the fruits of the Spirit no matter what in every situation, right? So it's all about choices and what choices we make. And we've talked about the traps. Dem Frank did a great demonstration on the traps. What causes us to get in those traps? The choices we make. You know, we make choices, then we end up trapped. But God will come and rescue. If we call out and ask, he can come and rescue us and deliver us out of the trap. We don't have to stay trapped. But it's the choices that we make that cause us to get trapped in the first place. Or if we have idols in our life, it's from choices that we put things in front of God. Even this reading the Bible, every day, this Bible reading that we've done, we have to make a choice. I'm going to give 20 minutes, 15 minutes a day with my family, and I'm going to read the Word. And it's been very powerful and very fruitful in our family. It's changed the atmosphere. It's changed my kids. They're praying. I'm not just praying. So it's a choice, and everybody can give 10, 15 minutes a day to read that Bible. It's important to allow your kids to read the Word with you and allow to train them to pray and to believe for something. It's a choice. It's another choice that we have to make. Let's maybe do a couple more questions. What was the name of the woman Philistine that had asked Samson about his secret? Heavy. Delilah. And what did Delilah want to know? His secret, but what was the secret? His power. Okay.
Did they get it?
They got it. And okay, so then how did Samson get his strength back? Oh, Abigail, sorry. You're going to have to help me because I don't see everybody. No, that's not the answer. Bo has it over here, Tom. Yes, he asked God about his secrets, or asked God to get his strength back. So, decisions. Romans 6:23 says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life." We choose the path we want to take, and we're free to choose. It's our choice. We get to choose. Our decisions determine our destiny. Sometimes those decisions can alter our destiny or alter our path. But God doesn't force anything. It's our will. And we can choose. We can choose to get trapped. We can choose to make decisions that alter our life. He lets us decide, but he wants us to choose that life, that path. And he wants to partner with us and walk with us on that path. It's not about just rules and do this, but it's a relationship. It's in a partnership with the Lord that he will guide you and direct you in the path that you choose. If you choose the path that God has for you, the prophetic words that God has for you, if you take those and say, this is who God says I am, this is what I'm going to do, God will show you and bring those things about. It's about the choice that you make. I'm going to ask a couple more questions, and then Tom, that's all I have, so. Oh, there's a few. He's going to want to say something. So this is about Saul. So Saul had some decisions to make. Was he going to put it in his own hands or do what God said? So Saul disobeyed God. And how and why did he disobey God? He was scared was part of it. How did he... You said how here. He didn't what? No. Well, sort of, but that's... I'm looking for something else. You remember why, right? Are you looking at me? Yeah, you're the one that wrote these questions, so they're kind of vague. They are. I had to ask him yesterday. I was like, can you explain these questions for me? Because I don't understand what you want. Well, he didn't wait for the priest. That was the answer. Yeah, she answered the nervous part, yes.
And he wanted to do something not waiting for the priest, right?
Right. Okay. So because he disobeyed God, what happened to Saul? Xander? What did he say? He died?
Not right away.
No. Well, he did eventually, but... Yes, he lost his kingdom. So then, more choices with Saul. He made a vow, and they weren't supposed to eat what?
Remember that with the soldiers? They made a vow, and they weren't supposed to... What? Yeah, eat what?
Eat what, though? Well, okay. You have something else here.
Do you want me to do it?
Maybe. What did Jonathan eat then? What did Jonathan end up eating?
Honey.
I'll ask one more and then I'll give it to Tom. What did the people do for Benjamin after... He saved him. Okay, I'm done. You can do the rest of the questions.
So what we do is when we study and we read this, I'm typing these questions up and trying to listen at the same time. And they need to be maybe rewrote just a little bit. But do you see the choices? Here's the thing. In John it says, he's the resurrection and the life. See, the one you crucified... He has made him Savior and Lord. Okay? It's not that we're just, you know, salvation. We're talking about the Lordship and the life that Jesus has for us. So many times, and what I'm learning right now as we read through these stories, is that God does not force himself on anybody. He will not force you to do the right thing. And I got some stories too. No, I wasn't looking at anybody. I know everybody's sensitive right now, but no. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm just saying I can look at myself and just say, you make a choice every day. You choose this day who you're going to serve. He became Savior and Lord over your life. In Psalms chapter 16, David said this, you have made known to me the pathways of life. This partnership that Jenny was talking about is that very from the very beginning, God wanted to have a partnership with you in your life journey. He did not desire that there'd be a priest in between me and you. He did not desire that there would be a Moses in between me and you. He said, I want to be with you and you are going to be my people. So when Jesus died at a cross, it wasn't just that he was going to be my Savior. He was going to be my Lord. He was going to be my friend. He wanted to be my partner. We're going to have communion just a little bit, but that common union is us communing with who? You need that. We need Jesus to be Lord over our life. The stone's been rolled away. Yes, the stone's been rolled away so that Jesus could be Lord, so that he may know, that I may know the ways to life. So when we read these stories, Deborah, who was Deborah? Who was Deborah? Yes, who's Deborah? She's a judge. Very good. Deborah. She's not a kid. She's a kid. Okay. Why time and time again was Israel getting in trouble? Why did they get in trouble? Mark. Why did they do that? Why would you turn away from God? Have I ever turned away from God? Has anybody in this room ever turned away from God? Yeah, maybe. When I got up in the morning and I made a decision about what was going to rule my day, who was going to rule me? You know, Jesus led Israel out into a land. And remember that story? When they got to the land, they lived in houses they didn't build. They reaped from vineyards they didn't grow. They had villages that they didn't build. They inherited a great thing. And what was the thing they were supposed to keep in mind and always keep first? Who? Yes. That was it. That was it. Samson. What was the one rule for Samson? Marky. Don't cut your hair. It was one thing. So simple. So simple. Why is it so hard to remember the one important thing, the Lordship of Jesus Christ? Why is it so hard? Why did he listen? I know you're going to answer that question, but Delilah kept on what? Kept on every day. What did she keep on doing? What? Asking, and the Bible used a very interesting word. It said she kept nagging on him. Does anything nag on you? Do you nag on you? I nag on myself. Do you think that's the right thing to do? You know why? Because it wears you down. Kids, when you call yourself stupid or idiot, that's no joke. That's not a game. And just because you lose a game or you don't do something well doesn't mean you're dumb. And it doesn't mean you're stupid. But when you begin to speak that over your own life, it begins to affect you. So don't ever say that. Pastor Tom, next time someone says stupid or dumb, you say, Pastor Tom says we're not supposed to say that. You can say that. You're not stupid and you're not dumb, right? But those things can nag on us. A couple more. We're doing good. Yeah. After they had captured Samson, they brought him to the temple, and where did they put him? Where did they put Samson? After, though, they had captured him, they had taken him out of prison, and they put him in the temple. Where did they put him in the temple? Who raised their hand first, Jen? There's words to that thing. Huh? They chained him, but what did they put him between? Abigail. What? Yeah, columns. Yep, pillars, columns. Yep. So then when, as we already answered, he said he asked for the Holy Spirit. So did Samuel make the right choices? No. But he asked God, right, again. And he asked God for some power when he was in between those pillars. And what happened? This is a question. All right, what happened? You better just stay up here because I have more questions. Who went first? Do you know in that one act, he took out more Philistines than he did his whole life? You remember that? One time, okay. Ready? Another question? Are you ready? Naomi, what happened to Naomi and her sons and her husband?
They died.
They died, right? And Naomi, she had two daughter-in-laws. Okay? One left and one stayed. Which daughter stayed? That's right. Ruth stayed. She didn't. It was pretty powerful that she said, so she made a choice, didn't she? She made a choice to stay. She picked up grain, right? So as she was picking up grain, there was a man who noticed her. Do you remember this man's name? Boaz, very good. Boaz recognized her, and it was such a great act of kindness. See, Ruth didn't have to stay. She made a decision to stay, and it wasn't easy because what? Naomi didn't have anything, and they were poor. But it was through her kindness, she would follow the harvesters and clean up and so she could have some food. And guess what? Boaz saw how kind she was. So guess what? Boaz gave her favor. To that, them and her family, because she chose to have an act of kindness, right? All right, another person in the Bible, Hannah. She was very sad. Why was she so sad?
She couldn't have a child.
That's right. So she went to a priest, and the priest kind of was mean to her. Do you remember why the priest was mean to her when he went in there? What did he think about her? She thought she was drunk. How rude. But she wasn't drunk. She was just super sad. She was super sad that she couldn't have a child. So when she explained this to the priest blessed her and said she could have a child. And she was going to have a child. Now listen to the choices here. She did not get offended or upset at the priest. She stayed. She stayed through the... You ever get mad at somebody and just walk out? But no, she stayed, she kept a right heart and attitude and explained. And guess what? The priest blessed her and said, you're going to have a kid. And guess what kid? What was the name of the child that she had?
Samuel!
Can you believe it? She made that choice, and because of the choices she made, opened up for one of the greatest prophets that we ever could read about in the Bible was Samuel. Come on. Everyday choices that impacted so many people's lives, right? When Samuel was a child, right, he was sleeping, and he heard a voice. Whose voice was he hearing? No. Whose voice did he hear? Yeah, it was the priest Eli's, yeah. But he heard God's voice. Very good. All right, almost done. As Samuel had two sons, they were not like his father. What was their problem? What were they like?
They were greedy
and selfish. Kids, can we be selfish? Can we be greedy? Is that a choice? Is that a good choice? No, that is not a good choice. You know, when you have Easter eggs and you shove all the kids away so you can grab the Easter eggs, that's rude. So anyway, I think that's it. You want them to count their monies? And hey, so if you
maybe didn't get around to reading the word to your child, I'm not here to shame you or blame you, but I just want to let you know that we're going to keep doing this on Family Sundays. So when we go through the service, we're going to ask questions about the lessons that went through that month. But I really do challenge, it's been really fun. Does everybody have 10 or 15 minutes? Do you got 10 or 15 minutes every day? And it's a good thing. You know, it's good to know about who God really is and what he does and how important our everyday choices are. You take 10 minutes a day and ask God about this day. Lord, what do you want me to do this day? I know you got to go to work. I know you got choices to make. But, you know, Jesus died on the cross, and he became our resurrected Lord and Savior. Not just that we go to heaven, but that he said, I will make known to you the paths of life. And the choices that you make, they're not easy choices. We're reading this Bible, and can you relate to some of the things that these people went through? Loss? People lost their kids. People were treated mean-like. We went through David. They didn't treat David very nice. Can you believe that? When Samuel came to anoint the king, this isn't a question, but when Samuel came to anoint the next king, all the brothers got together, and guess who they didn't even invite? He talked to Jesse, the father, he said, get all your brothers here, line them up. And guess who they didn't even invite? Do you ever, that's mean. They left David out there. They didn't even acknowledge him as a brother. Samuel was anointed and said, hey, this isn't the one. There's somebody missing. David was missing. So when we go through life, we still have a choice. We have decisions to make. You know, every single one of us who accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior can make a choice about their life, about their attitude, about their outlook in life, the joy, the fruits of the Spirit, who God can be for them. You know, he's given us such a great inheritance. It's not just about going to heaven. Come on. It's not just about going to heaven. It's so much more than that. It is the empowering force that's in everybody's life to get up every single morning and say, you know what? Jesus is Lord over my life. God, what do you have for me? Could you imagine? And you don't know what day this day is going to be. This could be the greatest day, the opportunity of your life. You might run into someone like a Boaz. You might run into someone and say, give you opportunity and the favor of God will be in that moment that we're going to bless you maybe with 15 jobs. That's going to open up the doors to something in your business. You don't know what day that is. But when you read this Bible and you hear the testimonies, men and women of God in opportune times making the right choices changed their lives and impact nations. And that's who you are. And you need to believe that so it could happen. Who won? Mark, you won. Yay. Well, it's Easter Sunday. Deb and Frank, would you please come? We thank Deb and Frank for being faithful men and women in this house, prayer warriors. It's such a blessing to have you guys here. And now if you guys could get with your families, we're going to do communion before we dismiss this morning. See, we make mistakes. Oh, thank you, Frank. Praise the Lord, though. It's fine.
Thank you. Okay.
All right. Hello. You go ahead, Danny. And when you're doing that, I'm going to just share this for everybody. Choices, communion, Resurrection Sunday. You know, one of the things that, you know, this morning, everything that we always need more of is more of the revelation knowledge of Jesus Christ. Amen. And especially on Resurrection Sunday, we're to remember what Jesus did for us. And so Frank and I are going to share the communion this morning. And one of the things in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, 11:23, he said, "For I have received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you." So this morning, I'm delivering to you what the Lord has given, but I'm asking a greater revelation knowledge of himself for us. And so when we take the bread and the wine or the blood, he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And the first thing he said, he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, and it said he was in agony. And one of the things, what I try to do when I do communion, is if you could just envision you and yourself with Jesus in the garden, and you're going to receive his revelation. And when I was pondering on this week, I've been asking, give more revelation, knowledge of understanding from you, Jesus. We have the grace of God to receive from you. So when he was in the garden, close yourself in, just you and Jesus right now, that Holy Spirit, would you reside in this room? Would the glory of God rest here and bring a revelation knowledge to a deeper understanding by the grace of who Jesus Christ is for each one of us? And so he says, remember what I did for you. When he went to the garden, he said, he prayed three times, Father, if you would permit this to pass from me, but not my will, thy will be done. He prayed this three times. Not my will, but thy will be done. And he was in agony, to the point where he was in such distress that great drops of blood fell from his forehead onto the ground. That blood represented something for you and I in the anguishing of our own hearts in times of situations in our own life, just to be obedient. And then he went to the crowns when he put the crown of thorns on his head. That too was drops of blood representing what he died for you and him. He did that for you. Jesus did that for you. When he took the scourgings and the whippings on his back, they said he was unrecognizable. That blood was shed for you and I. He said, I took your infirmities. I bore your sicknesses and carried away all your diseases. By my stripes, I'm giving healing to you. The bruises that he endured were for the iniquities of your bloodline, your tree line, yourself. All the sins and iniquities were covered by that blood. This is blood covenant with Jesus. He took the spikes in his hands. Your hands are holy. They represent him, and virtue flows from you to bring healing to other people. Your feet are representing me also. I shed my blood for you. And the spear in the side, broken hearts, your heart was broken at one time. I shed my water and my blood for you. These are the places of blood that represented what he did for us when he died on the cross. Let the emphasis of revelation knowledge emphasize who he is to you in that place of your own need in your own heart today. And let the revelation of Jesus Christ be so real. So Jesus, we're thanking you for going to the cross. This is the passion of the love that the Father had when he sent his Son. So today, Lord, we take the bread, and he said, take and eat. This is my body, which is shed for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And they took it and they ate it.
And then before we take this cup, in verse 28, it says, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. And also in verse 31, it says, for if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. So take about 30 seconds here, bow your heads, and just examine yourself. And this is a good time to sometimes I say get it right between you and him. Amen. So it's a personal thing. So God, we just examine ourselves now for about 30 seconds. In the same manner, he also took the cup after the supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Amen. Tom, you want to bless the people for?
Yes.
Hallelujah. You know, I don't know where everyone's at, or you're watching at home and it's Easter. But maybe, as Deb and Frank shared a few weeks ago, you felt like you haven't been in the right place all the time. And you're not sure where you're at. But you know, he is the Savior. And he helps us out of a mess. And just because you're in a mess doesn't mean there's something wrong with you. It just proves that we need a Savior. And that's Jesus. How many here have been pulled through a mess because of Jesus? How many here have had a tough day where maybe you didn't make the right choice? But you see, when Jesus went to the cross, he took away the punishment so that I didn't have to go through all the heartache that Deb just said. When Deb said heartache, my heart dropped too. Maybe when we had to go through all that suffering, we don't have to go through all that suffering. We do not have to. Jesus paid a price on the cross that we don't have to pay, but it's still a choice. It's still a choice that we need to walk through something. It may be difficult for a time, but we don't have to walk it alone. I'm going to pray this prayer. If anyone here watching or online does not know Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior, I want to let you know right now that that is a decision, that a choice that you can make right now in your own heart. I want to let you know that when God took Jesus to the cross, it pleased him to do it because it opened the way for you right now to ask Jesus to be in your life and Lord and Savior. He took away all the punishment. He says, you know what? I want to be your Father. I want to know you. I want to know you. I want to know you as my son and daughter right now. There are people that don't know Jesus. Can you imagine? But you know what? If you're watching right now or there's something that you don't know right now, you can receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. As Deb takes 30 seconds, it could be the most important 30 seconds of your life, a decision that I say, you know what? I need Jesus. Father, right now I pray for anyone watching right now. Right now, watching right now by the Spirit of God, it says that he convicts us so that we know what choice we can make. Lord, I pray right now that we can choose, and those watching right now that are looking for answers, Lord God, that you can make a way. Father God, that you know what, Jesus, you made a way on the cross. And I say, well, what do I have to do? Just ask God. Say, God, I need you. As we were singing this morning, I need you, Lord Savior. I know I haven't been living right. I know there are things in my life that are, I need help. I need a change, Jesus. I need you to help me. I need you to be Lord, Savior of my life. It's born again. The second aspect that I want to pray about this morning is if you've been stuck in something or a trap or something in your life, and we struggle with times making Jesus Lord over our life. And we go through life and we fight things for a long time. And we don't have to. And there's an invitation that God comes in his love to say, you know what, guys? I'm not mad at you, but this is just tough on you. I want to be your Lord. I need you to trust me. When people of Israel went into that place, it's hard to trust God sometimes because I don't know what it's like. But as Deb was praying for the revelation that we would know God more. God, I need to know you. I'm going to pray right now. With our eyes closed right now, let's just pray for 30 seconds. Father God, we need to know you now as our Lord in this area and Savior in this area of my life. God, I know there's times that I'm struggling. I need to get a revelation here about who you are. I need, when it comes to mental health, I need something in my own life right now, Father God, to break free. Right now, I pray right now by the Spirit of God, right now, would touch our hearts and bring the fullness of what Jesus died on the cross for, that I could be completely healed from a tormenting event, from a disappointment, and I could walk in fullness because, Jesus, you said it was finished. That means a complete work.
complete what you have started in me, Lord. I need to know more about who you are. Lord, you are my Lord. Help me and show me, I pray right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, God bless every single one of you. Huh? It's good to see you here this Resurrection Sunday. Go home and enjoy your families, and God bless every single one of you. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. For more, visit our website, communitychurchinternational.org. We invite you to join us next Sunday at 10 a.m. at the church 1 mile east of the college on Highway 1 in Thief River Falls, Minnesota. If you wish to support this ministry financially, you may give online on our website or on our free CCI Plus app. Thanks again for spending time with us today. Have a great day.